Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Speak against the downtown Palafox renewal project. I think it's something that's unnecessary and overpriced, and it will do significant damage to the small businesses downtown. And I'm very much against this project.
It was very interesting to see at the Pensacola City Council meeting on Thursday so many people show up to speak against the reimagining Palafox project. Remember, the project is originally going to be $9 million, $3 million of which came from Gulf Power / FPL, because when they did their, you know, road cuts in order to underground the utilities, which itself was a massive project, they paid the city $3 million and said, here, we'll you go fix the roads because we really unfixed them badly. And you combine that with some other money that can only be used in the downtown CRA, and eventually you get, or the, you know, community redevelopment area, you eventually get this $9 million project, which then ballooned to a little bit more than a $10 million project. But it's part of the hashtag. It's designed to make the downtown look more like this. It's already an iconic street, but it's designed to make it look really more like that. More of a, you know, walkable, visually interesting kind of brickwork, widening sidewalks. Just, you've seen the pictures, okay? And the mayor, his argument for this is, look, number one, this is part of the long-term project of the hashtag, improving the downtown area, making it more walkable and more, you know, shopping friendly. And number two, we have to close down the street anyway to do the repaving. And we might as well, while we're at it, let's do this. And not only let's do this, but, you know, let's do this all in one shot. Let's not try to do a block by block approach, which will take longer. And because if you close down any section of Palafox, you're going to have an impact on all of Palafox, sort of the argument goes. Instead of shutting it all down gradually over the course of a really long time, let's shut it all down simultaneously over the course of a still fairly long time, because the alternative would be to shut it down just to the repaving, which would be some amount of time. Now, I know that's not a great quantification of the problem, but you're talking about something in the vicinity of 6 months starting in January. And then, you know, it'd be shorter than that if they're just doing repaving. It'd be longer than that if they were doing it block by block. But he's argued that we ought to do it all at once. And of the options all at once or, you know, piecemeal, I agree with him. Of the option all at once reimagine Palafox versus just street repaving, I'm honestly not sure what I think. I just say I'm not really sure. I'm not completely sold. I'm not anti-sold. But I will tell you that a lot of the business owners who showed up, like Mari Carmen Josephs from Carmen's Lunch Bar, said this is terrible.
I am here as well to speak in opposition to the current reimagine Palafox plan. I do believe that this street closure provides a very serious threat to many of our businesses that are already struggling in a post-pandemic time where inflation has caused a lot of decreases in businesses. Our margins, which were already small, are much smaller. We're also dealing with a lot of parking issues downtown that have been exacerbated, especially in the last year. I do believe that pulling the trigger on this project as it stands could truly be the nail in the coffin to many of our businesses, mine included.
And, you know, things have not been going great necessarily, and there's all kinds of concerns about the economy in general. Nathan Holler from Doghouse Deli.
Dear council members and CRA representatives, we, the undersigned business owners and merchants along Palafox Street, support the goal of improving downtown, but not the way the project is currently being implemented. We write to express our deep concern and opposition to the present execution plan for the downtown streetscape project. While we welcome progress and continued investment, The construction plan, as designed, poses a serious threat to the survival of small businesses, local owned businesses like my own. The project's current, with the Band-Aid off approach, originally presented as a 20-week construction plan, has now been extended to a 26-week, which only with only a modest 10% incentive for early completion and a minimal $1,000 per day fine per day is beyond the 26-week mark. This imbalance leaves affected businesses with little protection and creates significant uncertainty about the project's true timeline. This project will have a lasting impact on downtown Pensacola, not only through its design, but through the way that it's executed. A 6-month period of construction, noise, and road closure on our main commercial corridor will be devastating to local merchants who cannot withstand the level of disruption.
Yeah, and I understand all of those concerns. I do. And I think the mayor does too. And I mean, he's a business owner. So you would think, you know, and right, not quite on Palafox, but real close to it when you own Perfect Plane. And so I think he understands this as well. And I think his answer, as he's kind of explained to us before, is, look, we're going to have to do the repaving anyway. And the repaving is going to suck because repaving always sucks. I mean, you know, road work always sucks for the businesses that are in that area. And it's just a fact of life when you use a high volume area like Palafox that you're going to have to do these projects periodically. But the question is, can we not, you know, are we really missing this better thing, or would we be better off just really doing the road resurfacing? And it seems like all of these business owners are saying, we'd rather just do the road resurfacing. We don't need to do the big, beautiful thing. We can just do the, you know, get us over thing until the next time we have to get us over thing, and never really improve the overall aesthetic or the overall functionality of downtown. Patrick Elabash, who's the owner of Elabash Jewelry, and I think the family owns a building downtown that they rent or something also, but you know, big local name.
Wanted to offer some feedback, obviously, on the Palafox project. We are adamantly opposed to this project. This is a huge ask of small business owners. Many are legitimately scared. I say legitimate because I know they know how impactful this is going to be.
Yeah, and J.B. Schluter, who is the mayor of Gulf Breeze but also owns Interlight Surf Shop.
I can tell you, in the 6 years that I've been in the downtown area, I've never had one customer come in and go, you know, your sidewalks are really too small. You need to widen those. You need to make it more relaxing. But I have to tell you, the pink elephant in the room is I've had hundreds of people complain about the parking. I mean, it's just very confusing. It's very disorganized, and I know that we don't all own all the different parking places, but please take a good critical look at this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the note that was hit a couple of times throughout the night is, you know, whatever else you might say people are asking for, they are not asking for this. They are asking for parking, or they are complaining about parking, and of course, that's also been a big issue and will be an issue throughout the shutdown if it actually happens. So we'll see, you know, we'll see. But, you know, the mayor said he's going to get together with some business owners Thursday, I think he said. So this would have been coming up on Thursday this week. But we'll talk to him about this, of course, on Wednesday at 7:35. 5:17 on News Radio 92.3, this hurricane, my goodness, it's at Category 5 now, and it still hasn't even gotten to Jamaica. It's gonna just slow walk, like 5 miles an hour is all it's moving right now, even though the wind speed is over, what is it? It was 145 last night. That's a Category 4. I didn't check the wind speed this morning. I know it had strengthened to a Category 5, but just a monster hurricane. It's going over Jamaica, and it's going to go very, very slowly, it looks like. Let's see the motion. Oh, I don't have that one right here. But it's going to go slowly over Jamaica. Then it's going to go slowly as a major category over Cuba. That's why the naval station Guantanamo Bay evacuees all came here. About 850, something like that, evacuees came here, of course, over the weekend, and we're taking good care of them. Maximum sustained winds right now, 160 miles an hour, and it hasn't even reached land, so nothing to slow it down yet. And it's moving at 3 miles an hour. You remember how Sally was only a Category 2, right? But why was Sally so rough? Because it just slowly moved, you know, just so gradually moved. This is a 160-mile-an-hour storm moving at 3 miles an hour. This is really going to be bad for Jamaica and for the eastern edge of Cuba. And then it's going to push off into the Atlantic. But, man, it's not supposed to get back down to a just regular hurricane, like Category 3 or below, until after it passes Cuba, which would be in the afternoon on Wednesday. So, man, I just expect this is going to be horrific for those islands. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
you're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Yeah, we were looking real briefly at Jamaica just to see the population. 3 million almost, 2.9 million. And you got to figure a lot of that's clustered around Kingston, which is, you know, toward the eastern side, which is going to be the dirty side. Or, I mean, the eye is coming right at the island at 160 miles an hour. So, it's unbelievable. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. A group of Chinese H-6K bombers recently flew near Taiwan for confrontation drills. That was reported by Chinese state media. Comes just days before U.S. and Chinese presidents are set to meet in South Korea. Taiwan's defense ministry dismissed that report as being a propaganda effort aimed at intimidation. The Chinese military says that units from the Eastern Theater Command were conducting training exercises focusing on blockades and precision strikes.
Nothing to see here, just training. Just training.
just a little training.
No big deal.
Five crew members were rescued after a Navy Seahawk helicopter and a Super Hornet fighter jet crashed into the South China Sea yesterday. Now, these two crashes happened about a half an hour apart. The first incident involved an MH-60 helicopter from the Helicopter Maritime Strike Squadron 73. That went down about 2:45 local time yesterday. All three crew members there were safely recovered by search and rescue. Not long after that, a Super Hornet fighter jet went down from Strike Fighter Squadron 22, and that crashed at about 3:15 local time. Both crew members there successfully ejected and were also rescued safely. The Navy says that, the Defense Department says that both aircraft were conducting routine operations from the USS Nimitz at the time of the incidents.
Yeah, it's a really, really weird coincidence that seems to be just a coincidence. There seems to be no connection with the, although they're not being particularly forthcoming about, you know, causes just yet, but, you know, or and whether there was any geographic proximity, but it doesn't seem like there was. Just seems like we had, you know, they, you know, the Nimitz lost a Hornet and then they lost a Seahawk and that's it. So,
yeah.
And as you say, all five crew members were rescued, which is great news. But other than, you know, it's a weird thing. I mean, it's when you think about aviation stuff, it's weird things sometimes happen. You know, the same exact day that Jeff Koos's Hornet crashed, the Thunderbirds were doing the flyover of Colorado Springs, remember? And Thunderbird 5 crashed that same day, and he ejected, Alex Turner, Major Alex Turner. I had a chance to meet him. It's the only reason I remember his name. And I flew with Jeff Koos. So, like, same day, two solos on two different flight demonstration squadrons in two different locations in the United States crashed. Related? No. Just weird coincidence. So, yeah.
But, yeah, good news there. They are all safe and accounted for.
Right.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says he is prepared. Boy, if only I could talk today. to revoke $160 million in federal funding from California, citing the state's alleged illegal issuance of CDLs to non-citizens. He made an appearance on Fox News. Duffy says that Governor Gavin Newsom has not complied with federal regulations to halt issuing licenses to non-citizens. And to review those that were already issued, the state has now been given 30 days to comply or face funding cuts.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 524 on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of Navy news or military news, the buildup of presence near Venezuela continues. We have something around, I read one report that I think from Fox has said we have about a seventh, 14% of our Navy is in the Caribbean right now. It's a lot. It's a lot. Of course, we have a big Navy, you know, almost 300 ships. But you've got the USS Gravely, which is a guided missile destroyer. That's the Arleigh Burke class. Arleigh Burke, we have a lot of them. We have like 75 or 74 or something like that. And then this is the missile cruiser. This is, if you watch that TV show, The Last Ship with Eric Dane, good show. It featured that particular kind of ship. It's our most common missile destroyer. And so, you know, that's significant. That one has now docked in Trinidad and Tobago. That's like 10 miles off the shore. Just these little island chain just off the northeastern coast of Venezuela. We also have the carrier USS Gerald R. Ford and its group, which is in the vicinity. So we are at the very least sending a message. There are already about 6,000 sailors and Marines on 8 different warships in the region. If the Ford strike group arrives into near Venezuela, that would bring another 4,500 sailors plus 9 squadrons of aircraft that are assigned to the carrier group. So a potential significant amount of military presence there. It's not the kind of thing that if I were a, struggling South American nation that I would think, oh, great. Welcome. That's not really. 437-1620, 437-1620. Remember the story we brought to you before? We were talking about how the changes in the tax laws related to gambling were likely to dramatically affect the professional gambling class because the new rule would be that, you know, in the past, you could take all of your winnings and you could subtract all of your non-winnings or losings, and eventually that would give you your income for the year. So if, for example, you play poker professionally, if you won hands worth or tournaments worth, it was never quite clear to me how the metric was going to work on this. But let's say your total winnings for the year were $10 million, but your total losings for the year were $9.5 million. Right? Because some hands you win, some hands you lose. Okay, well, that would be a net of $500,000 on which you should pay taxes. Well, the new rule under the big, beautiful bill was that you can definitely pay us for all of the winnings, but you can deduct only 90% of your losses. Well, because it's a volume game, right? It's play a lot of hands, and if you can win so many percent, you know, if you're a professional gambler, you do it a lot of the way the house does it. You know, the house wins, you know, 2% of the time. Well, 2% on $1 billion worth of transaction is enough. Or $2 billion or $5 billion or whatever their number is. It's like at the slots. You know, you win a lot, you know, but you don't win enough to, you know, beat the house over time. That's the point. Well, same thing if you're a professional gambler. Your goal is to play a lot. And if you know you're better than the average enough, then you win often enough. Well, if you can only deduct 90% out of your, you know, 9.5, that's going to be a significant difference in the amount of taxes that you're going to owe. And that's bad for them because the margin that they operate on doesn't allow for, you know, it's not built on that. I mean, you've just lost about $1 million worth of deduction. And that's going to, you're only making $500,000 a year in my example of up 10 minus 9.5. Okay. Instead of being able to pay taxes on the $500,000 you actually won, you're now paying taxes on $1.45 million. So your actual earnings didn't change. Your net didn't change, but your tax liability tripled.
The what?
That's bad for them, right? Also, meanwhile, YouTube has started suspending and restricting popular poker channels, including those run by a couple of players like Brad Owen and Ryan DiPaolo. I don't know those names particularly. I used to kind of watch the World Series of Poker when it was popular, and then I think like a lot of us kind of like, I've seen a lot. Kind of like I used to watch American Ninja Warrior. Seen enough. You know, it's only so many times that can be entertaining. Anyway, you know, for a long time it was. Anyway, so YouTube says that, you know, its policies are clear. You can't direct viewers to uncertified gambling sites, and in-person gambling content must be age-restricted. So apparently they're in violation, some of them. But that's a big hit because that's content creation. And then also you have some changes. There was another change that I wasn't as familiar with, but it has to do with there's another slice of the gambler's income stream that's being, you know, kind of disrupted. So it's a rough time to be a poker player in the United States, even though, you know, Trump used to run a casino and the administration is theoretically not against any of this stuff. I still think they're going to fix this. When we talked to Jimmy Paternas, he thought maybe they would probably fix that, almost like a glitch that they could only, you know, but it's going to cost money. Then again, if they can't make money, it's not clear that they stay doing this. It's not sure that it winds up actually costing money, because if people give up the profession of poker or go play it in other countries, then, you know, does the revenue really manifest itself anyway? These are all kind of the questions you have to think about. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. On Friday, we had a good town hall discussion with Jimmy Paternas. We'll be replaying that for you coming up next. Some interesting stuff in there. Also, the fair got canceled yesterday because of weather. It's always a bummer when the last day of the fair doesn't happen, but there it is.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump lands in Japan, where he meets the emperor and sits down with the first ever female prime minister, Sanae Takeuchi.
She is a former TV host, like our president, who also has an affinity for playing the drums. And to give you a sense of how important Japan is to President Trump's foreign policy, this is his fourth trip to Japan across both terms.
Fox's Peter Ducey in Tokyo, where the famed Tokyo Tower is lit up red, white, and blue for the president's visit. On board Air Force One, President Trump said he had not thought about extending his trip to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, but he would think about it.
I'd love to meet with him if he'd like to meet. I got along great with Kim Jong-un. I liked him. He liked me.
The second longest government shutdown extends to 27 days. The Senate back to work today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio, 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 65 degrees in Pensacola. Nearly 1,000 non-essential staff from Naval Station Guantanamo Bay in Cuba have been flown into NAS Pensacola due to the intensifying Hurricane Melissa. NAS Pensacola's Navy Lodge, Navy Inn, are providing lodging. Hundreds of pets were also flown in. They're being housed in a makeshift kennel. The USO of Northwest Florida is now collecting pet food donations for the animals. Right now, there's no word how long the Navy personnel from Guantanamo Bay will be here in Pensacola. A teenager from Gulf Breeze has been selected to compete at the Trampoline Gymnastics World Championships. He's one of 23 athletes chosen to represent the United States. 17-year-old West Fowler received a send-off party over the weekend at his practice studio. The event takes place in Pamplona, Spain, in November, from the 6th through the 9th. A 70-year-old woman was injured in a crash on Highways 29 and 97 in Molino on Friday afternoon. Officials say that woman was headed north on 29 in her SUV when she turned and didn't yield to traffic. An oncoming SUV then crashed into the passenger side of her vehicle. That woman was taken to the hospital with critical injuries. The man driving the other SUV suffered minor injuries in that crash. Well, five Navy crew members were rescued after a Seahawk helicopter and a Super Hornet fighter jet crashed in the South China Sea on Sunday. Those two crashes happening roughly a half hour apart. The first incident happened when an MH-60R helicopter from the Helicopter Maritime Strike Squadron 73 went down at 2:45 local time. All three crew members were safely recovered by search and rescue teams after that incident. And then shortly after, a Super Hornet fighter jet from Strike Fighter Squadron 22 crashed at 3:15 local time. Both crew members successfully ejected and were rescued after that incident. Both aircraft were conducting routine operations from the USS Nimitz at the time of the incidents. Fortunately, all crew members are reported to be safe and in stable condition. The Defense Department has deferred comments to the Navy, which has not provided additional details as of yet. It is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have those rain chances coming to an end as you go through the rest of your day today. High near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy skies, high near 73. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. Going into Wednesday, about a 40% chance of those showers and thunderstorms in the morning. High near 71. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 49. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 65 degrees. We've got cloudy skies at the moment. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Microsoft is in hot water down under. Australian regulators are suing the software giant, accusing Microsoft of deliberately misleading more than 2.5 million customers on cheaper subscription alternatives. The Aussies allege that Microsoft forced its AI assistant and a big price hike into Microsoft's software plans, all while burying a cheaper AI-free option deep on the tech giant's website. A big purchase in the biotech world, Swiss pharmaceutical giant Novartis is buying experimental drug maker Avidity in a deal worth $12 billion. Avidity is developing a class of RNA-based treatments that work by altering how genes are expressed to treat or prevent rare diseases. On Wall Street, futures are sharply higher and good news is in high supply. This morning's hot start is thanks to word that the U.S. and China could strike a trade deal when the country's leaders meet later this week. Investors still love last week's good inflation reading, too. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
I also know that Federal Highways, at the beginning of the month, reached out and asked FDOT for a copy of that feasibility study. What that tells me is a number of conversations that many of us have had with our federal legislators, you know, Congressman Petronas, Senator Scott, Senator Moody. It's obvious that those conversations are having an impact, and the impact from the conversations and the statements made by Colonel Deering and others from Herbert Field, that that's obviously landing now, and it's not falling on deaf ears like it once was.
So Colton Wright, Commissioner Colton Wright, talking, we had covered this before, but it becomes particularly relevant because the aforementioned name drop Jimmy Patronis is here in studio with us. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, first time in person.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Great,
yeah,
to
Commissioner
have you.
Wright was in the office less than a month ago, and it's so funny. I love logistics and transportation infrastructure, and so he starts.
It's a sentence you don't
things.
Hear people say a lot.
No, I know, right? I'm a nerd. And so I had so many questions because here I had somebody who knew his county.
Yeah.
And so I go and I grab one more big district maps that shows the district. I threw it in the office, and you know, I just literally just started using that as my guide to understand, you know, all of the challenges that need to be addressed. So it was just funny. It was great having him up.
By the way, if you have questions for Jimmy, text him in at 437-1620. Your questions, it's a town hall version today, so you can ask him whatever you want to ask him, 437-1620. The note that Colton brought up is that suddenly the Department of Transportation, the big DOT, is interested in this bridge potentially for connection to moving the traffic away from Hurlburt. You know, FDOT is apparently interested because it might save them money on a potential flyover to bypass Navarre, some of the traffic there. So they basically delayed ordering the PD&E because they think there might be some of that, what I sometimes call magic fairy dust money, coming from Tallahassee and maybe from D.C. You're as close to this as anybody we know. Is that a reasonable thing to believe might happen?
Yeah, look, I mean, the state of Florida, the work...
For a new bridge, by the way, for a big, expensive new bridge.
So I was talking to DOT earlier this week, state DOT, and you know, they were talking about how many different bridges are in the pipeline around the state, and I'm kind of like scratching my head, wow, I didn't know those were deficient.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they definitely got the long-term works plan, and they try to project out, this is the time where we're going to need to start being prepared to replace that bridge. So I know DOT is working on it. You know, we're doing our best up in D.C., but, you know, it seemed like just yesterday. I remember when we were raking ground on the Highway 98 bridge here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those projects don't happen overnight.
Right.
They're long-term projects, but they're incredibly important to the economy of an area.
Yeah, and I'm still a little bit baffled by either, not just necessarily how we got here, but why we're here. Like, how can 399 be a state road and 98 be a state road, and then the bridges connecting them are not, you know, because they transferred ownership over time, and Escambia owns Bob Sykes, and, you know, Santa Rosa owns Navarre, and you got Perdido Bridge too. I mean, you know, Barrier Islands are bridge connected, and I know back in the day it wasn't a problem because nobody wanted to live there. A lot of people want to live there and party there, and, you know, that's a big economic source. So
100%.
It's important to us. Anyway, before we get to the text, 437-1620, if you've got a text for Jimmy Patronis, send us a text about your question. I will ask him on the air. I did want to ask you, remember I had told you very specifically that Ryan Jenkins, our farmer up in Jay, Florida, and the worry about the agency that distributes money at harvest time. Well, we're in a government shutdown. That agency is not distributing money. President Trump announced, $3 billion, I think, that was going to go into funding for that agency, and that's some kind of a stopgap measure. Had you heard anything about that? Do you know anything about that?
So here's the reality of it. Like, I was calling yesterday to the White House on a FEMA issue.
Okay.
And so then they had a Department of Homeland Security liaison reach out to me. I mean, everybody's furloughed. I mean, so the backlog.
I keep thinking I can go get information. I know I can't call them because they're not working.
And I tell you, the higher level staff that are there trying to manage operations, they're beyond stressed. I mean, they're edgy because they're not getting a paycheck either.
Yeah.
I mean, they're working, you know, taking care of the business. And look, it is the House Republicans. We passed a continuing CR that was going. We funded the government. And just yesterday, the Democrats in the Senate voted down a bill that would have paid those employees to try to let's have some normalized discussions with people getting paid. They still voted no. This is a leverage inflection point for them, and pretty selfish.
Yeah, it's also just, to me, it's so weird that I don't even see on the horizon what would change to make this matter enough to make an agreement to do something. It seems like, you know, both sides, everybody's pretty well dug in, and, you know, the pain is happening and nobody cares.
The November elections in New York, New Jersey, and Virginia have a whole lot to do with this.
Okay.
Because if the Dems cave, then their base gets mad at them because they're working with Republicans and you're supposed to be fighting for us. You know, so it's kind of this two-edged sword, but they're still taking, you know, their own beatings from their constituents about, you know, hey, I'm my not getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so it's just how much of a beating can they handle and can they keep, they're polling like every hour of how those races are going to turn out because they're important races.
A couple of texts here. Two questions for Jimmy. Questions come from Daniel. Do you support removing marijuana from Schedule 1? And then I'll give you the second one because it's a completely different subject in a second.
So it's funny. I got approached by that the other day. And you got, Schedule 1, Schedule 2, Schedule 3. And I guess Schedule 1 is in the same category as, poison. Schedule 2 is reasonable. So we've been getting approached to try to move it from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3. I want to know more about what are the characteristics that they want me to move it to 3. And I was not comfortable with that.
Okay.
I feel like it's something that if we're going to move it, it needs to be able to have some research, but that's the argument they're making is if we move it from Schedule 1 to 3, then that gives it greater access to research dollars in order to verify the medicinal purposes or healthcare benefits of
it. So you want to see it on Schedule 2 or you're not sure?
If I was forced to make a decision today, I would, and I said you had to make a choice, it was going to be 1 or 2, I think I would be okay having it at 2.
Okay.
I'm not ready to go full 3 simply because I just feel like that's like open the barn door and,
all right,
and you're not having just gradual. There's a reason why it got put as a Schedule 1 at one time. You know what? I think there's probably some smart decision making at that.
Oh, I got a text in from one of my traffic guys. Says 399 out on the island is actually County Road. So anything south of 98 to County Road went to the respective counties when the bridges went. Okay, so that makes actually more sense because I couldn't make sense of how the state road could be not connected to the state road. That seemed kind of weird to me. Second question from Daniel. Are you assisting in reestablishing a post office in downtown Pensacola? This is for people who live downtown, this has been a huge issue. The mayor kind of keeps saying we're sort of working, but there's nothing really official yet. Do you know anything about that?
Well, to be honest with you, this is the first time I've had that question asked.
Okay.
Love to get more information about it. So is there not?
There had been a post office for a long, long, long time down in Palafox, and that recently closed and went away. And there's been a lot of talk about finding another location, working the deal, you know, what USPS is doing with whoever the leaser would be, you know, that kind of problem. So, but not yet solved as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, that's an action of Congress. You know, I'm not opposed to it, neither real estate. It's also a business decision. I don't know what it's going to cost. U.S. Postal Service is upside down financially, so, you know, it's kind of hard to get blood from a turnip, but, you know.
They can keep raising rates.
Yeah, which they have gladly done. Right. I'm still a guy who uses stamps. I love mailing stuff to people, but, you know, God, you look at your mailbox now. I mean, yesterday there was like 3 pieces of mail.
Right.
And it's funny. I think Discover Card has sent me a credit card invitation like once every day for the last 6 months. And they're like these super fancy pieces. And I'm thinking, and you're spending a fortune, and I'm not going to get your card.
The irony of postal service, of mail, is that it's as technologically advanced as it has ever been. I mean, my wife literally gets an email every day with an image photo of everything that's coming. So we can make sure that we are prepared or if something goes missing, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's kind of cool.
It is amazing.
Thing.
Yeah. Of course, you pay for it. it's more expensive than email. Somebody says, 437-1620, text in your questions for Jimmy Patronus.
These are good questions.
Will you ask Jimmy to sponsor a bill that in the event of a government shutdown, all elected officials and their staff will not get paid?
So I'm already on that bill.
Yeah, which would be a constitutional amendment, right?
Yep. So there's a constitutional. Ralph Norman has got the bill sponsored. Rick Scott has it in the Senate, our own state, United States Senator. I'm a co-sponsor of it. I have not taken a paycheck since the shutdown started. My attitude is if we're not doing our job, then we shouldn't get paid. And I think it's pretty stinking embarrassing that we have members of Congress all over the country who were elected to do a job, especially in the United States Senate. They're still gladly collecting a paycheck, but, you know, refuse to vote to keep the government open.
Yeah, it's I sometimes think we'll never get another constitutional amendment passed. I think this would pass right away.
It's been ratified in 30 states. I think you got to get to 35 states. I think it's been ratified already in 30 states.
Let's see. 437-1620 for a texting question from Jimmy Patronus. We're going to run out of time before we run out of questions. The second part of this one, this is the rope-a-dope here. Buried the lead. Could part of that bill also include a mandate that when the government shuts down, that Americans pay zero federal tax dollars during the closure?
But, but here's the reality of it.
I mean, if they're not running, you know.
I really don't have a massive problem with that because I hate feeding the beast more money.
Sure.
Because if you keep on giving the beast more money, all it's going to do is spend it. And I'm just always been a big believer, and please just know this, I believe this in my heart, is that the citizens of the state of Florida spend their money a hell of a lot better than Washington, D.C. does.
Do you know how popular you would be if you could be the guy who came with, you know, if we shut down, you don't pay any income taxes? Like, everybody in America would be pro-shutdown. I mean, it would be a mess. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But let's see. Another text in here. You're on the Workforce Development Committee. Mm-hmm. Florida's projected to have a healthcare personal care worker deficit of nearly 100,000 people coming in the next 5 years as the silver tsunami hits Florida. We're not making enough babies, right, and we are keeping people alive longer. Is this something Congress is thinking about? Can you address it? Is there anything you can do?
Well, look, I think Congress is always interested in that, but I do appreciate how proactive we've seen, especially our state colleges, because that is a great 2-year degree that morphs into a 4-year degree real easy to create some stability. And it is what it is. As we have more people that need taken care of in that silver age, you're going to have more skilled professionals to understand healthcare issues. And that's something AI may complement it, mm-hmm, but AI is not going to solve all those needs.
This is a different kind of question. Yep. Congressman, what inspired you to first run for office, and what advice would you give to me as a young person who's interested in serving the community and maybe eventually having your job?
So I tell people all the time, get involved in public service. It is the most rewarding, nourishing for your soul thing that you could ever do. And public service isn't just running for public office. It could be volunteering in a local organization that does good in your community. Everybody always needs volunteers, and it's such, I tell you, for me, I got involved in a lot of charitable events growing up as a young adult. It opened up doors, and you start to realize, man, you know, people then want you to be a part of other endeavors, and it's enriching, but it's also, if you're looking for opportunities business-wise, it creates a great network of folks that you're able to pick up the phone because you've worked with them, you know, with blood, sweat, and equity, for no compensation, and it's just rewarding. You get to see what type of people they are. So yeah, public service is that I can make more money getting back in the restaurant business, but there's nothing like solving somebody's problem.
We got another. Hey, you know, we the people want Congress to go back to work and get a constitutional amendment for that exact thing. So get it done. They said shame on Congress.
I agree. Shame on Congress.
Somebody says, I love Jimmy. I'd love to have him talk about FSU and Mike Norvell.
Yeah. So I think the problem you've got with Mike Norvell is the way his contract was written with Jimmy Sexton as his agent. It's a $62 million buyout. All the assistants are all latched together. So, like, if you fire Norvell, that means everybody's going to be paid off.
Wow.
So here's the problem. If you go fire Norvell today, you're going to tell me you're going to find somebody else that's going to come in that's going to win any more games for the rest of this year than Norvell is. So, yeah, does Norvell need to, you know, have a stern talking to? Yeah, does he need to shake up in his own assistant coaches? Yeah, and that's exactly what's happening right now. But, you know, they go and they spend a fortune redoing the stadium, and, you know, it's all about making the better experience and, like, the, you know, turning the stadium into a destination. I was sharing that exact same comment to somebody the other day, and they said, no, you don't need to spend all that money at your stadium. Just win games. You'll be amazed how many seats you'll fill up at that stadium, you know.
People want to see the wins if they have to. I mean, people go to Wrigley.
Yeah.
To watch the Cubs win a lot, okay? And nobody ever says, man, I'm not going to watch that baseball game because I don't like the stadium.
Yeah, the stadium's a dump, you know. Yeah.
So I think we're totally out of time. How about this real quick one?
All right.
Just this is a basic government question. If Republicans have the majority in the House and the Senate and the White House, how can Democrats keep voting down the budget?
I love you asked this question. So thank you, whoever sent that in. Because in the Senate, it requires 60 votes in order to reopen the government, we have got to get some Democrats' participation. So we've only got 53 Republicans in the United States Senate. So we have to get them aboard. Back in March, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, brought 7 Democrats over with him, and they voted to continue the government, this exact same vote, and he got eviscerated for it. His base ate him alive. So you know what? He knows the stove is hot.
Yeah, it has to do with filibusters and the cloture rule.
Correct.
And if you can't get to 40 to end debate, basically, which means you've got to have 60, you know, in order to stop that. And they have more than 40. They have, you know, 47. Yeah. So they have enough to keep stopping this through basically the filibuster rule, which is a lot of people look at that and say it's a crazy rule, but it is the way the Senate works.
I'll stretch it. And then so then they said, well, why don't you just get rid of that rule and make it 50 plus one? And the problem is all right, the shoe's going to be on the other foot someday.
That's right.
And then you'll get packing of the Supreme Court. You'll see Washington, D.C. turn into a state. They'll pick up two more Democratic senators. How many Democratic members of Congress? So, I mean, it's just kind of like watch what you do.
That's
when you
right.
open up
the,
that box.
The long-term consequences, adverse consequences of eliminating the cloture rule would be potentially catastrophic.
That's
Jimmy,
right.
thanks for the time. Thanks
for
coming in. Good to have you in studio.
Yeah, of course.
We'll talk to you soon. Yeah, and by the way, just to follow up on that a little bit, that was on Friday. Of course, we talked with Jimmy here in studio on Friday, so don't text me your questions now. I know you're listening first time. Why does he have him on so early? Well, replay. But the filibuster rule, the cloture rule, the requirement that you got to have 60 votes to end debate, to cut off debate, that's the idea, is that under normal circumstances, things work okay. But it's designed to be hard to get anything done. Remember, the basic rule of our system of government is it's hard to govern. You don't want a fast government. You don't want efficient government. You don't want government that's responsive to people, especially the Senate. You want the Senate to be the calm, cool place where nothing happens, where all bills go to die. That's the goal, because otherwise you get really fast, terrible government, and you do not want that. So everything from, I mean, think about it. If Republicans got their way entirely when they were in office, that would be bad. And then if Democrats would get a couple of votes more, you know, a couple of senators more, then they would have their way and would be swinging back and forth wildly. It's bad enough already. This would be much, much, much worse. And yes, it is occasionally going to be totally maddening, like with the government shutdown, because you can't get an agreement whether to continue funding at the prior levels or to, you know, throw in an extension of these healthcare subsidies. But he's right. It would be so much worse if they got rid of the cloture. There's a reason they haven't gotten rid of it. And even though it's maddening, remember, the purpose of government is to prevent fast government, is to prevent fast, efficient government, because inefficient government at least doesn't make as many mistakes as quickly. 550, like, for example, giving, you know, D.C. statehood or Puerto Rico statehood or packing the Supreme Court or whatever. Pick it. There's all kinds of things that you could do. 556 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At PennAir Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Join Foo Foo Fest Wednesday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Guests will be Charlotte Waters from Legal Services of North Florida, Brett Barrow with the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra, and Joe Vinson of the Japanese Society of Northwest Florida. It's time to foo around and find out all the details and make your foo foo plans by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday at 10:30. Foo Foo Fest begins October 30th, downtown Pensacola.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Humorous. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Sneeze and it's goodbye, Seattle.
Good morning, 5:58, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. The weather that came in overnight has passed mostly to our east. It is headed towards Tallahassee and like Panama City Beach, that kind of area. So if you're heading that way, you're probably driving into it, but it has passed by us this morning. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David? That was kind of, were you meditating?
No, you know.
Were you on hold?
When you open these browsers on all these, they all have their own weird little thing that plays just automatically.
You know, my favorite button on Chrome is right-click mute.
I didn't know you could do
on
that.
On a tab. Oh, yeah, you can mute the tab. You can mute Fox News, CBS, whatever, especially Fox is the worst.
Hold up. There it is. What do you know?
What I taught you today. It's going to be, and if you ever need to record audio off of a tab, right-click on mute. Huh. I have like, I probably have 1,000 websites that are muted by default. Every single one that makes noise. Go on, sir. What do you got?
Well, the Federal Aviation Administration had to announce a ground stop for flights heading into Los Angeles, LAX Airport, Sunday, apparently due to staffing shortages. They say that absenteeism among air traffic controllers in Southern California is at a very high level right now.
Yeah, I was surprised to read that, too. You don't really think of LAX as closing even for a short time, but they did. And they've kind of thinned access to Reagan and Dulles.